My name is Marquise Cox, like you heard. I am the high school pastor here at North Point Community Church. And I just wanna briefly say, if you are the parent of a high schooler, I wanna say thank you for allowing us to steward your students well over the course of the 4 years that they are in high school. Okay, well today I'm excited because we get to continue in the conversation, three questions everyone has about God. Now, right out the gate, I gotta let you know there's some differences between myself and the communicator that's been speaking a couple of weeks ago, which is Jamie. Here's a picture of Jamie Dickens. He did a great job, but I gotta state some obvious differences for y'all, okay? Number one, Jamie's from Atlanta and I'm California, obviously, okay? Here's another obvious thing. Jamie, for the past 2 weeks, spoke for probably about 57 minutes. I'm almost done, okay? Don't have a lot to say, okay? One of us, here's the difference. One of us wears Patagonia and lives in Alpharetta and pushes a stroller around the Avalon. The other person is Jamie. So there's a lot has changed since the LA days, right? Here's the last difference. I'm gonna go ahead and just put out there. Jamie shops at Brooks Brothers and I'm just a brother, okay? So right out the gate, there's some differences. But I am excited to be here because Jamie, in the past few weeks, opened up this series, Three Questions Everyone Has About God. In week one, he talked about the question, who is he? And he answered it by saying that God is a good, loving father. And in the second week, he asked, does God require too much? And then he answered by saying no, because the life that God has for us is on the other side of letting go of the life that we want for us. And today, I want to unpack the third question, but before I do that, I got to give you a little context about who I am. Here's a picture of my wife and I, my beautiful wife, Crystal. This is my boo thing, my baby, my best friend, the peanut butter to my jelly, the yin to my yang, okay? This is my beautiful wife. We met on blackpeoplemeet.com and why y'all laughing? I'm serious. No, I just say we met at church. But here's the deal. We met at church. I hope Andy doesn't see this. All right. We met at church, and this is my beautiful wife, and we've been married for almost 5 years now in December, and it has been a blast being married to my best friend. Here is a picture of our four-month-old Denver Cox. This is my beautiful baby boy. He's amazing. He's sleeping through the night now, which parents, can I get a what? Exactly, yes. It's a different world. But this is our life now. But our life looked drastically different just a few years ago. And today I wanna tell you just a little bit about my journey and seeking God's plan for my life. But I gotta set the scene for you. I'm a 23-year-old man. I had been married for 6 months now. And my wife was at school, finishing up her bio pre-med degree to go become a doctor. She finishes up her degree. And then I meet my now mentor, Darren Youngstrom. We kind of start meeting through email and we built a relationship through email. And then one day he emails me and says, hey, I don't know if you're the right guy for the job, but I'd love to interview you for an opening on my team here in Atlanta. So I go back to my wife and I'm like, babe, there's this potential opportunity to go to Atlanta for a potential job. What do you think? She says, hey, I don't know if this is the right move, but if God opens that door, I'm okay to walk through it with you. So long story short, we come out here, we fly out here to Atlanta, we do the job interview. Darren calls me back a few weeks later and he offers me the job. So I go back to my wife and I say, babe, they offered us the job. What do you think? She says, hey, I don't know. So we start to pray. We start to seek God. We start to ask and wonder, God, is this your plan for my life? Is this where you want me to go? And we start to do all of those different things. And we end up leaving all that we knew in California and moving to Atlanta. So we left everything with barely any family here and no friends here. We left everything and we came here to make Georgia our home. So we started working here for about 2 years. And then I started to feel homesick. And then I had this job opportunity come to my email again from the same church that I had come from, but a higher level position. It's gonna be back near family. It's gonna be back in my hometown. So I go to my wife again. I say, babe, I got a plan. There's this potential job opportunity out in California. We'll be back next to family. We'll be back next home. All of these things will work out. I think we should make this move. She says, Marquise, I'll let you know this. I'll follow you anywhere you want to go, but I don't think we should leave Atlanta. All I heard was, I'll follow you anywhere you want to go. That was it. I didn't even hear the rest of what she was talking about. I'm like, hey, you'll follow me? Good. So we packed up our things after being here for 2 years, and we go back to the LA area in California. Y'all, it took me all of 3 weeks to hug my grandparents, say hi to my parents, have In-N-Out Burger, go to the beach, do all the California things. And then I realized, I think this was the wrong move. And we lasted there for about 4 months, and I went back to my wife, and I said, babe, I got a plan. Y'all, you don't know this, but I am on decision probation until the year 2022, okay? My wife will start to ask me something and be like, no, right? She's like, what do you want for dinner? Nah, I'm not gonna ask you what you want for dinner. You don't get to decide, okay? But the reason I tell you that is because all of the back and forth, all of the wondering and questioning and doubting and thinking to myself, man, is this the plan that God has for me? It caused me to wonder, and it caused me to think, man, is this the direction that I should be going in? And through all of those moments, I can remember having some doubts. And I can remember being in California and having to look my wife in the eyes and say the thing that none of us husbands really love to say. Feel like I messed up. And it's one thing to say, hey, babe, I know you told me not to eat this and I ate it, or I shouldn't have bought this and you told me not to buy it. But it's another thing to look your wife in the eye and say, babe, I think I messed up the plan that God had for our lives. It's another thing to look my wife in the eye and say, babe, I think I ruined the plan that God had for us. And today, that's what I want to talk about. Today, I want to talk about the plan that God has for our life, because here's what I know about us in seeking God's plan. At some level, to some extent, to some degree, we have all asked this last pressing question that everyone has about God. And it's this right here. Does God have a plan for me? It doesn't matter who you are in this room, you have wondered to some degree, even if you didn't say it verbally, you said it at some point in your life. Does God have a plan for me? Truth of the matter is, we have all wondered if God was at work in our life with a plan. We have all doubted whether or not God had a plan for us. And even if we felt like, yeah, God may have a plan for other people, God may have a plan for them, I wonder if God has a specific personal plan for me. And I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of time in my life thinking this question. I spend a lot of nights up late at night thinking to myself this question right here. Does God have a plan for me? And even as we begin to unpack this whole idea of God having a plan and thinking about if God has a plan or not for our life, there's something within all of us that pushes back against this idea that God has a plan. There's something that rises up within us that pushes back to say, Marquise, I don't know about this whole idea of God having a plan for my life. Because when I look at my life, does it look like God has a plan? In fact, there's a few categories I think we all fall into when it comes to pushing back against this idea of whether or not God has a plan for us. The first category is this right here. For some of you, you would say, you push back because I don't know the plan. And there are some people in this room and you're very type A and you love to have control and you're thinking to yourself, man, I just don't know the plan. And isn't it true? Isn't it true that when you don't know the plan, you begin to doubt the plan? Isn't it true that when you don't know whether to go left or right or what's mapped out in front of you, you don't know what's ahead, when these types of people don't know what's ahead, they begin to doubt whether or not there's a plan at all. So these people would say, Marquise, I hear you, but I push back against this idea that God has a plan for me because, Marquise, I don't know the plan. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's to come in my life. And if I don't know it, I'm beginning to doubt it. Others of you in the room, you would say this right here. You would say that I don't believe there is a plan. Marquise, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm a skeptic. I don't really believe in this whole idea of God having a plan for my life because when I look at this world, there's no way that there is a God that has a plan. When I look at what I see on the news, when I look at what I see in the world, there's no way there could be a God that has a plan. So Marquise, no, I don't believe at all that there is a plan in place. I don't believe it. And for some of you in this room, you fall into this category because you choose to believe, I don't believe that there is a plan because of the life that I see in front of me. For others of us in the room, we just say this right here. You say, I missed the plan. Marquise, if there was a plan, I missed it. I started off well and I started tracking with God, but then somewhere along the way, I drifted. And somewhere along the way, I started making my own decisions. And somewhere along the way, I start to find out that I don't know if this is the plan that God has for my life. And I begin to drift. And somewhere along the way, Marquise, I missed the plan. I missed it. And if you grew up anything like me, you grew up believing or hearing that God had this perfect will and this perfect plan for your life. And it was almost elusive. You had to watch out for it. You had to be mindful of it because you could miss this whole plan. And if you made one wrong decision, then you were outside the plan. For a lot of us in this room, you'd say, Marquise, the reason why I push back against this whole idea of God having a plan is because I feel like I missed it. And then there's others of us in this room that fall into a category that has a lot of us. It's this category right here. Marquise, I messed up the plan. Marquise, if there ever was a plan, the mistakes that I made in high school messed up that plan. If there was a plan, Marquise, the mistakes that I made in college that still live with me today, I messed up that plan. If there was a plan, Marquise, you don't know the people that I've hurt. You don't know the people that I offended. You don't know the things that I have done. And because of your sins and because of your mistakes, you feel like I have messed up the plan too much. If there was a plan, I ruined it. If there was a plan left up to me, I sabotaged that plan because of the decisions that I made. And y'all, I'm here to let you know that it doesn't matter who we are in this room, a lot of us, if not all of us, live here. We live in these categories, pushing against this whole idea of God having a plan because you feel like you don't know it, you don't believe it, you missed it, or you messed it up. And it doesn't matter where you are in these categories. We all have had some doubts when it comes to God's plan for our life. Because we've all have felt this to some degree. We all have lived here. And today I want to talk about that because the reason why we live here and the reason why we have all these doubts when it comes to God's plan for our life is because when you look at your life right now and the way that it is, it does not line up with what you thought God's plan was for your life. Well, if you were just to look at your life and say, I'm looking at my life for what it is, it doesn't add up or line up with what the plan you thought God had for your life. It's sort of like this. Here's what I mean. It's sort of like this thing going around on social media right now. It's this hashtag called what I got versus what I received, or excuse me, what I asked for versus what I got. If you don't know what a hashtag is, you need to come to Inside Out tonight at 4:30 because we got bigger issues, okay? It's a hashtag, what I got versus what I asked for. And people all over the world are taking to the internet to let people know that what came in the mail is vastly different than what I thought it was going to be. And so people are showing all of these pictures of what they asked for versus what they ordered and what they got. And there's this one picture that I want to show you, and it's a picture of this guy who ordered a rug online, and what showed up was vastly different than what he ordered. Watch this. Look at this. He has a rug, okay? His caption says, bought a rug online from my room and realized the importance of specifying the size of the product you're selling. That's what showed up in the mail, and he thought he was getting a rug. And what showed up was vastly different than what he thought he was going to get. Here's another picture I want to show you. There was this mom that wanted to get a birthday cake for her daughter. And she got some inspiration from online. Her daughter loves these Vans shoes. So she said, you know what? I got this inspiration. I'm going to take this picture to the baker. And this is the picture that she took to the bakery. She said, I would love this for my daughter. She loves Vans shoes. 5 hours later, she came back and this is what she received. Yes. Completely different. I don't know what that is. They were better off buying a regular cake and writing Vans on it than bringing this. For a lot of you, you know this to be true, that what you asked for versus what showed up, it's vastly different. You know that there's an area in your life where this shows up the most, and it's this area right here, online dating. Because what showed up at your front door, what showed up at that restaurant, at that dinner table, was vastly different than what you thought you were going to get. And you spent the whole evening thinking to yourself, now, what year did you take that profile picture? Because this ain't adding up. We all know this feeling of feeling like things not adding up in our life, and we can all relate to these funny pictures, but the truth of the matter is that these pictures are a representation of our current reality. The truth of the matter is that although we can laugh at the cake not looking like what it was supposed to look like, the truth of the matter is you know what it's like to go throughout life and your life looked nothing like the plan that you thought God had for you. And when you look at your life, things look vastly different. And you thought there was a plan, and somewhere along the way, you thought that God had this specific plan for you. But now when you look at your life, things are much different. And you begin to doubt if God has a plan at all. And the number one reason why we doubt if God has a plan, the biggest reason why we doubt if there's ever a plan at all, is for one reason, and it can be summed up in this one word. The word is this right here, interruptions. Isn't it true that we all, and to some degree, have had a plan or felt like there was a plan in place? And even if you weren't certain of the plan, you were certain that there was a plan. But then an interruption came. And isn't it true that when life takes an unexpected turn, you begin to doubt the plan that God has for your life? You see, we can all relate to interruptions. And interruptions have a way of sort of getting our eyes off of the plan and start thinking that the plan is ruined or that the plan isn't there at all. And a lot of us in this room know exactly what it's like to have something interrupt their plan. Another way that this can be phrased is by this right here. Another word for interruptions can be used and symbolized with a wrench. Even when it comes to our culture, we have a phrase when it comes to plans and wrenches. We have this thing that when a plan is sabotaged or when a plan is ruined or when a plan is messed up, we say that someone threw a wrench in the plan or that there was a wrench thrown in the plan. And these wrenches and these interruptions all vary in different sizes, but they're wrenches nonetheless. But for some of us, we have small interruptions or wrenches that have come our way. And you would say, man, it wasn't anything major, Marquise, but there was an interruption or a wrench thrown in my plan. I was getting ready this morning and my four-month-old boy named Denver had a blowout. And this is the interruption that I have. I don't know if that's you, maybe it's me. For some of you, say, Marquise, it's a little bit bigger than that when it comes to the interruption in my life. I was driving down the street, headed to a meeting, and my car broke down. And there was a wrench thrown in my plans. But we all know that life sometimes gets a little bit more hectic. Some of you would say, Marquise, there was a bigger interruption in my life. For me, Marquise, I was going through all my life and everything was fine, and then I lost my job. I was going through our life and then everything was fine and then the divorce happened. And for some of us, we even have larger wrenches and larger interruptions in our life. And you would say, Marquise, I believe that there was a plan, but then. I believe there was a plan, but then the infertility hit. Marquise, I believe there was a plan, but then I ended up being single much longer than I thought I was going to be single. Marquise, I believe there was a plan, but then there was a loss in my family and death came over my family. Marquise, I believe there was a plan, but then cancer hit my home. And y'all, it doesn't matter who you are in this room. I know every single person in this room that's sitting in these chairs have experienced one of these. You have experienced an interruption. You have experienced a wrench thrown in your plans. Every last one of us, we know what it's like to have one of these mess up or ruin what we thought was the plan that God had for our life. We all know that feeling. In fact, it causes us to doubt the plan that God had for our life from the very beginning. And if you're in this room today and you doubt whether or not God has a plan because of interruptions, I want to let you know you're not alone. And if you're in this room today and you doubt whether or not God has a plan because a wrench was thrown your way and life looks vastly different than what you thought it was going to look, you are not alone. As a matter of fact, a lot of us in this room can attest to the fact that these wrenches have thrown us off. Even as a pastor, even as someone who walks with God, there's times when I look at these that have come my way in my life, and I begin to doubt whether or not God has a plan for my life. And y'all, if you believe that there's no plan at all, and if you're doubting whether God has a plan for your life, I wanna let you know some good news. That's okay. Because today, I wanna offer you something that's far bigger, far better, and far more impactful than any plan you can dream up for your own life. Today, I wanna offer you something that's much better than a plan. I want to introduce you to something, a bigger concept and a more impactful concept that's better than a plan. So if you're in here today and you're saying, Marquise, the plan that God has for my life, I feel like I missed it, I messed it up, I don't know it, or I don't believe it, that's okay. Because today, my goal is that you walk out of here with something much bigger and better than any plan that you thought that God had for you. But in order to do that, I got to introduce you to a man by the name of Paul. And a lot of us in this room, we've heard of Paul. And we've heard the stories about Paul, but Paul was someone who was on mission and going after God with all he had. Paul had left this life of legalism. Paul had left this life of traditionalism and started to follow after the mission that God had called for him. And God said that I want you to send the good news. I want you to send the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's where I want you to go. So Paul, not only allowing the Jews to have the gospel, he wanted the Gentiles to also have the gospel, started out on this quest. And Paul ran into several different interruptions. Let me show you just a quick list of his interruptions. Paul was thrown in prison unjustly. Paul was flogged, whipped 39 times, beaten with rods 3 times, almost stoned to death, and even shipwrecked. All of these things took place in the life of Paul. And as he's going after God and doing everything he can to do what's right and to do what God has called him to do, these things take place in his life. And in our culture, in our world today, we ask a very legitimate question. That question is, why does bad things happen to good people? But one question we don't really talk about or ask when it comes to church is the question, why does bad things happen to those who are following after God? Because I bet there are some people in this room where you say, Marquise, I've been attending church. I've been doing what God has called me to do. I've been loving my wife. I've been trying to do my best to go after God. But yet and still, Marquise, there's some interruptions in my life. And how can it be that we follow after God, but yet and still, there's some interruptions that come our way? And Paul knew all too well that there were interruptions to the plan that he felt like God had for his life. But here's the deal. Paul ran into something that was much bigger and much better than a plan. The reason why Paul was able to endure all of this, the reason why Paul was able to go through this and still make it out on the other side was because he had something far bigger and better than a plan. And that's what I'm going to offer you today. Here's what Paul said to the churches in Rome. He opens up by saying this, and we know that in all things God works. Let's stop right there because the rest of the sentence is irrelevant and the rest of the sentence does not matter until we get this part right. Paul had confidence because he felt like God was the one at work. God was the source for his life. It wasn't his paycheck at work. And it's not your paycheck at work. And it's not your spouse that's at work in your life. And it's not anything that you can put your trust in down here in earthly things that you can feel is your source. The thing that is the proper source for your life is God. And Paul realized that if I'm ever going to have confidence in the things that's happened in my life, I have to know without a shadow of a doubt that it's God that's at work in all things. And today I want to encourage you and challenge you and ask you, is there something else that you feel like is at work that's your source for your life? Do you feel like it's your prestige? Do you feel like it's your job? Do you feel like it's your status that's working in your life? Or do you have a better source, which is God? You see, Paul knew that he had a source in God that was working all things. He goes on to say this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. God is not just at work in Paul's life, but God is working things together for God, for Paul's good. And it's not that his life looked good, and it's not that God made these things take place in his life, but Paul knew that God was at work, making sure that all things were working together for Paul's good. And I know there's a lot of us in this room that have had a lot of interruptions, but I want to let you know that it is God working all things together for your good. It may not feel good. It may not be good, but at the end of the day, it is for your good. And that's what Paul understood. And Paul realized that God was working things together for the good. He goes on to reveal what the better thing was than a plan. Here it is. Paul says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Paul could go through all that he went through, not because he had a plan, because God had a purpose over his life. Paul could go through all that he went through, not because God had this planned out life, but because Paul knew that God had a purpose for everything that he was going to go through. And let me ask you, if you got to the end of your life and you got to look over your life before you transitioned into eternity, would you rather say that you lived a life full of the plan? Would you rather live a life that's full of plans? Live a life that's full of purpose. You see, plans can change. Plans can be sabotaged. Plans can be interrupted, but purpose lasts forever. And the reason why you can endure what you're going through is not because of a plan, but it's because of a purpose that God has called you into. And God has called all of us into this purpose, which is far bigger and better than a plan. Parents in the room, would you rather your kids have every little plan that they need for their life? Or would you rather your kids have a purpose-filled life? In fact, I'd say it this way. I'd say that God has something far better than a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And everything that you're going through that you feel like has ruined the plan or messed up the plan, I want to let you know, even if the plan is messed up, the purpose is still at work. So the question then becomes, Marquise, what is this purpose? Paul lets us know in the next verse. Paul says this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Here it is. Paul knew that God's purpose for his life was that he be conformed to the image of his son. It wasn't that it was going to be a bigger paycheck. It wasn't that it was going to be a better job. Paul knew that he could have confidence that God was at work in his life because there was a purpose over his life to conform him into the image of God. There was no interruptions that messed up the purpose. In fact, going back to this analogy of the wrench, Paul knew that it didn't matter what came his way. Paul knew that it didn't matter if he was shipwrecked. Paul knew that it wasn't matter if he was beaten or whipped. He could take all of those interruptions. He could take all of those wrenches and give them to God. Because here's what I know to be true. In our eyes, this is an interruption. But in God's eyes, this is the thing he's going to use to fulfill his purpose in your life. And I know you feel like the divorce derailed the purpose, but it didn't. I know you feel like the infertility failed the purpose, but it didn't. God is saying, I want you to give me that divorce. I want you to give me that singleness. I want you to give me that termination. I want you to give me that sickness. I want you to give me that death in your family. And I'm going to use it to conform you into the image of my son. Because what we see as something that throws off the plan, God sees as something that fulfills his purpose in your life. God wants to use that thing. Whatever that thing is that's going on in your life, well, whatever that thing is that's happening in your life, God wants to use it. Because in our hands and in our minds and in our eyes, this is just something that ruined the plan. But the truth of the matter is, God wants to use everything that you've been through, everything that you're currently going through, to conform you to the best version of you that you can be. And that is into the image of his son. The bottom line to this entire message is simply this, and I want you to walk away knowing when life interrupts the plan, look for God's purpose. Well, when life interrupts the plan, look for God's purpose. Well, when life throws you a wrench, ask yourself, God, how are you going to use this to conform me into your image? When life throws you an interruption, you can look for God's purpose in your life, because God wants to do something in your life that's far bigger and far better than any plan that you've been seeking. In fact, God wants to use the interruption. God wants to use the wrenches that have come your way in your life to fulfill his purpose. And that purpose is to conform you into his image. And y'all, I just want to let you know, it's not about these plans that we've been seeking after. It's not about these plans that we've been chasing after. It's about the purpose that God has for your life. So I want to ask you this week, I want you to consider this question right here, which is this: what interruptions are you going through right now that God can use to conform you to his son's image? Well, what interruption, what thing are you going through right now that God can use to conform you? Well, what are you going through right now that God can use to make you who he has designed and purposed you to be in your life? Because I believe the reason why this matters, the reason why we can have confidence that all things are working together for our good, is because the purpose is still at work, even if we feel like the plan isn't. Because the plan can be sabotaged. And the plan can be ruined, but the purpose over your life is that you be conformed to the image of his son and that you have deeper relationship with the Father. That's God's plan and purpose for your life. So how did I get back to Atlanta? Well, I called my mentor, Darren Youngstrom, back and I begged him for my job. And whether I ended up in California, was that God's plan? I don't know. Was God's plan to be here in Atlanta? I think so. But through all of that moving back and forth, through all of that trying to figure out, God, what is your plan for my life? I figured out that through the entire time, God was working and conforming me into his purpose, because that was his purpose for my life. Through all of the wrestling, through all of the decision-making, God was conforming me into the image that he wanted for my life. And y'all, that's the thing that I think God wants for you, because you have an opportunity this week to look at the interruptions that come your way as something that can derail the plan. You can look at the interruptions that come your way as something that can ruin the plan. And even if that's so, God still wants to use it, because what we see as an interruption, God sees as a tool to conform us. And God wants to use this to conform our lives into the image of his son. So does God have a plan for you? I don't know. But I do believe, and I do know without a shadow of a doubt, that God has something far bigger, far better, and far more impactful. And that is a purpose for your life, and a purpose for every struggle, for every interruption, for every wrench that you go through. So this week, here's what I would love for you to consider. Number one, would you consider letting God be your good, loving father? Because every good, loving father has called you into a purpose for your life. And that's what God has for you in your life, a purpose. And he wants to be the good, loving father to you and in your life. Number two, would you consider believing the life he wants to give you is better? On the other side of the life that we've been holding on to is the best life that God can give us. So would you consider letting go of the life that you've been holding on to and embracing and adopting the purpose that God has for your life by holding on to the life that God has for you? And lastly, would you consider allowing God to use the interruptions in your life to conform you to his image? Because every last one of us has an opportunity to let this bog us down and weigh us down and give us way more stress than we could ever imagine. Or we can take the things that have happened to us, even though God didn't put them on us, we can take them and and give them to God and say, God, to me, I messed up the plan. To me, I ruined the plan. To me, I did something I wasn't supposed to do. But God, can you use this? Can you use this to make me the man, the woman that you've called me to be? And in God's hands, the thing that we thought ruined everything is the thing that he's going to use to conform us into the image of his son. Does God have a plan for your life? I don't know, but he has something far bigger, better, and more impactful, and that's a purpose for your life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much that you have blessed us to know, God, that you are working all things together for the good because you have called us into your purpose. You're working things together for the good because you have called us into something that is bigger and better than any plan. So God, if there's some interruptions in this room today, if there's some wrenches in this room today, would you give us the courage? Would you give us the courage to realize that you are at work in those interruptions, that you are at work with everything that has come our way? Father, I'm praying that as we leave today, that the stuff that we see as something that has derailed or sabotaged the plan, we start to see those as opportunities in your hands to make us who you have called us to be. We thank you that you didn't give us this plan to live by A, B, C, all the way through Z, but you gave us a purpose that we can live by and that we can hold on to, which is far bigger and better than any plan. We thank you for all these things, and all of North Point said, amen. Love y'all. We'll see you next week.